This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Let's talk about these executive orders. January 6th, political prisoners are free. Megyn Kelly's here. Julie Kelly's here. Ned Ryan. What a show tonight on I'm Right. Well, this is fun so far, isn't it? Meaning the Trump presidency, which is coming in about 24 hours old, and it is going very, very well. This is a much different Trump than we were given the first time. He clearly understands the threat that is up against him, up against us. He walked into the Oval Office. He immediately started taking an axe to all of Joe Biden's executive actions, immediately making moves to secure the border, to get this country right, turning the January 6th political prisoners free. We will get to that in a little bit with Julie Kelly. This is going very, very well. And one of the reasons this is going so well is it's coming so fast. And let me explain what I mean by that. For the longest time, the GOP has made this mistake. Have you ever, pause for a moment. Let's do a little analogy. You ever had to get in some cold water, a swimming pool, ocean, somewhere? You ever had to get in some cold water? What's the best way to do it? Is it best to just kind of dip your toe in a little, ooh, that's cold, and then kind of ease your feet in, and soon you're almost up to your stomach and you're doing that breathing thing? Or is it best to just jump in? It's best to jump in. But forever the GOP, when it comes to executive orders, anything that could be deemed as remotely controversial by the media, they've always been toe dippers. Hey guys, we're thinking about this law. Let's float it out there and let's see if we get any pushback. That's what the GOP has traditionally done. And the GOP has traditionally gotten their lunch eaten doing that. Because when you do that, when you hold up one thing, hey, we might do an immigration executive order, and you don't do anything else, then you allow the media, like the vicious jackals they are, to feast on that one thing and essentially destroy your policies. But what Trump has done in the last 24 hours is so well done and so brilliant because he's flooding the zone. How do you even, if you're some evil communist apparatchik who works at ABC and you have to put together your nightly Trump hate segment, where do you even begin? He's doing all these things. He's taking out the, where do you begin? He's doing very, very, very well so far. And you know, look, it's me. I'd tell you if he wasn't. He's doing outstanding. So far, but one day in, this is a different, much more aggressive Trump ordering government employees back to work. It's all wonderful. And that brings me to this. I am starting to get a little bit hopeful about something I haven't been hopeful about, full disclosure, really ever in my life. I'm starting to get hopeful about the American people's will to resist communist propaganda. You see, during COVID, you remember if you've watched this show for any length of time, I hit my lowest low when it comes to the American people's will. I watched this country fold like a cheap suit because the media and a bunch of scam artist doctors told them a chest cold was going to kill a million people. And I watched this country lose its mind. And you remember, if you were watching back then, I found it to be so disheartening. I was just flabbergasted walking around, everybody in double masks. I was floored that that happened in this country. And I thought to myself, the American people really can believe anything if the media presses it hard enough. If Democrats, Republicans, and the media join together, they can convince the American people of anything. That's where I came up with that sky is green theory. And so when Donald Trump was running for office, the second time, primary general election, he was talking a lot about mass deportation this, mass deportation that. And you remember what I said? I said, sounds good. We have to have it. It's necessary. I'm doubtful it's going to happen. And that was not a doubt specifically aimed at Trump. It was a doubt specifically aimed at the American people. meaning I know the propaganda campaign that's going to come. It's already begun when it comes to mass deportations. The Democrats, the American media, the globalist communists who run Western civilization now are highly invested in destroying Western civilization using the mass importation of foreigners. That's what they've done. They're very intent on it. That's why they hoovered up so many people in such a small amount of time into this country. They're that invested that now, if there is an attempt at deporting these foreigners, they're going to dig into propaganda. They're going to start treating people to videos of Lupe crying on television. Washington Post reporters are already putting this out there.
Ay, Dios, por...
Oh my gosh, she's crying. She can't violate our sovereignty. Media is pressing it. And remember, a long time ago, I warned you this was coming. You are going to have to take that part of you and you are going to have to set it aside. Because the truth is, there's no nice way to tell somebody, you're not welcome here. Stay out. It cannot be done nicely. It cannot. And it will involve tears. The propaganda effort around stopping this will be the largest, most pervasive, most evil propaganda effort you have ever seen in your life. The propaganda effort is not going to be just a bunch of screaming harpies, no, let all the illegals stay. The propaganda effort is going to be aimed directly at that kind heart that beats in your chest.
You know, I knew, you knew this was coming, but what I'm starting to get hopeful about is the American people's will to resist it. I have not seen in response to the propaganda so far. I need to clarify, it's been 24 hours, right? Mass deportation started like 2 hours ago. But so far, I haven't seen the American people breaking. I haven't seen the crocodile tears, and the media is going to press it. They're going to press it hard, and it's going to go beyond the American media, remember. This is a globalist communist plan. It's not an accidental thing. Democrats, Hollywood, shoot, even the Pope wants the border open.
Pope Francis, speaking in a TV interview which aired yesterday here in Italy, said that if incoming U.S. President Donald Trump comes through on his promise of mass deportations, it would be, quote, a disgrace.
Questo, se è vero, sarà una disgrazia.
If this is true, it is a disgrace.
Fa pagare ai poveri disgraziati,
because it makes the poor unfortunate who have nothing pay the price of imbalance.
Dello squilibrio.
You see, there is a very large, very powerful system. A lot of parts of it want that border open. They want the mass importation of foreigners. And the propaganda campaign you and I are about to be under, it might dwarf the propaganda around COVID. The question always was, the question remains, can the American people resist? Do they have what it takes to resist it? And I will say this, they might. If you'd asked me even a year ago, I would have told you, nah, I doubt it. And I'm not saying they will, but they might. And one of the reasons they might is the American media, who will have to be the mouthpiece of this propaganda effort. They have so destroyed their credibility in every possible way that the propaganda this time probably won't land as hard as it did last time. And these sick freaks haven't learned a thing. They can't even look at a video, a political video, without counting how many black people are in the crowd.
You guys, I have to say, I'm looking at this crowd. I do not see many people of color. Does anybody else besides me observe that? I'm fascinated by why that is.
on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. The most notable and one of the most high-ranking is Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, first black woman to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court, notably appointed by Joe Biden as he wanted to follow in the footsteps of Jimmy Carter in appointing a number of women and black women to the federal judgeships.
General Brown, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is probably there. In fact, that might be side of his head. No, because he's there. Well, I can't tell what uniform that is.
I can't tell from this.
But he was undoubtedly there.
Yeah, I saw Jim Clyburn.
What an odd way to look at the world. Joining me now, the wonderful Megyn Kelly of the obvious Megyn Kelly Show. Go sign up for her YouTube. You catch her on Sirius every single day at noon. Okay, Megyn, we'll get to the media and not being able to change their tune in a moment, but what kind of sickness do you have to have? I see these people do this all the time, to look at a picture or look at a video and start counting. Are there enough black people? How many women are there? Did you see enough? Bob, I don't see enough Asians. What an odd way. I don't think I've ever looked at a picture like that in my life.
Never. It's so sick. And somebody online was saying, in response to a tweet I sent out about this, she's probably disappointed because she was ready to find them in the crowd and call them all Uncle Toms, because that's what the left does. If you're like a Clarence Thomas and happen to be black, but are conservative. What a joke. I don't understand it. And by the way, if you look at, and I was there, the Capital One Center, filled with 20,000 of Trump's most ardent fans, you would see people from all walks of life, all colors, all creeds, male, female, you name it. This is just not how, it's like you took one room that happened to have his closest family members and closest advisors and decided to try to pick how many were people of color. I mean, did we count, by the way, Usha Vance in there? Because the second lady and the children of the vice president are all brown, but I guess that doesn't count for Gayle King. It's just absurd. I don't get it, other than they see everything through a racial lens and everybody as oppressor or oppressed. And that's why they will continue with their TDS for the next 4 years and undermine their own credibility and shed more audience.
Megyn, I'm glad you brought up they'll continue with it, because I was thinking to myself, I was thinking about the election, and I saw a poll, Democrat approval is now at 33% nationally. That's the lowest in the history of that kind of polling. So they are very much on the outs. And I was thinking last night, surely they're going to make some changes, right? I mean, surely they're going to polish up this and tighten up that and maybe tell these crazies to stop. But Megyn, I'm not sure they can. I don't know that these people know any other way. I don't know that they can change. Can they change?
No, they cannot. They will not. Sure. I mean, even in the last election, you saw there was a Democrat survey of some 2,000 or 3,000 Democrats post Kamala Harris's loss. And the question was, what was the issue that was most important to swing state voters, right? Because as much as we'd like to think we matter in non-swing states, what it comes down to is those seven swing states. And those Democrat voters said the number one issue they were voting on, and when they voted for Donald Trump, was the trans issue. So the Democrat base is telling its elected elites, not to mention the media, that they're with the Republican Party on that issue, to the point where they would reelect Donald Trump and put him in office over a woke black female Democrat, right? Which is supposed to be the god in the Democratic Party. And still they do not listen. Still they double down on all of this nonsense like they represent the people. So I think there's a divide between this progressive caucus within the Democrat Party and the elite media who represent them and are totally in line with them, and much of the base of the Democratic Party, which still has more of a classical liberal bent running through it, especially on certain social issues. They're not as woke as that former faction is. And so for me, I think it's great, because they're either going to bend the media and the progressives to their will, which is close enough to our will to make us happy, or they're just going to keep losing. So we'll have our will enacted. That's the road we're on. The elite media won't see it. They're blinded to it. They're drunk on their own wine. They think they're all powerful and that their voices really matter and will change things no matter how often the voters and the viewers tell them they're wrong. So I think you and I and our audiences are on a nice road, and I think I'll enjoy watching them destroy themselves.
How much of it do you think is geographical? I mean, it's human nature. When you're around certain people, you will understand them better. You can't understand people watching them on the television or studying them on social media. When you live, work, and worship around people, you understand them better. And they have so isolated themselves to bubbles like Southern California, New York City, which you're well familiar with. How much of it do you think is just simply geographical, that even if they wanted to understand the Rust Belt Democrat in Pennsylvania, they can't because they've never met him?
Mm-hmm. Huge issue. Absolutely huge, because it's sort of the same thing that can happen to our Supreme Court justices who go down to Washington and go to the right Georgetown cocktail parties. And before you know it, Chief Justice John Roberts, who never showed a hint of being anything other than a dyed-in-the-red wool conservative, winds up giving us Obamacare, among other decisions. So, like, I'm convinced the more you surround yourself with these elite so-called leftists, the more they start to rub off on you. So I think it's a combination. Like, if you really wanted to revamp media, and obviously we're doing that in the digital lane, but I think, like, if you want to start from scratch, you would definitely try to have journalists who live in flyover country, who understand what it's like to live on a ranch, who know what it's like to work with your hands and get your nails dirty when you go to work all day. And I think, I know this is weird, but like, I think they need to make less money. Like, if you're, let's say you're going to insist on staying in Georgetown or Manhattan or Los Angeles or San Francisco, Silicon Valley, I think you should definitely be subject to salary caps so that you're poor like journalists were meant to be. And that might at least give you a shot of still relating to the everyman instead of seeing yourself as high and mighty.
Yeah, it's tough to speak truth to power when you are the power. I guess that's a very pretty astute. Okay, Megan, Tom Homan has already announced that the mass deportations have begun. It was no secret. ICE was getting ready to descend on Chicago, New York, and other places where these gang members and savages are terrorizing American citizens. And you're seeing the media already try the propaganda campaign. Oh, look at her. She's crying with the poor Lupe. They're already doing that thing, but it doesn't appear to be landing. Has the media lost so much credibility they can't create scandal now out of thin air like they used to be able to?
That is a very good question. And I guess my honest answer is we'll see. Because, yes, I've seen this video too. And like the sympathies of the CNN anchors, certainly the MSNBC anchors, and CBS, ABC, and NBC are all with the illegals, 100%. Maybe not these illegals because they're from Cuba and they tend to vote Republican. If they get here, they're not allowed to vote, but I'm just saying they tend to be more conservative. But in general, their sympathies are with the illegals, and they love to say that Trump is a racist and that's the reason he's doing all of this. But, you know, that poll that came out earlier this week was at New York Times that showed overwhelmingly the American public and overwhelmingly the Democrats in this country favor deporting all illegals. It's 55% of Democrats favor deporting every single illegal in this country. And then it goes up even higher when you say, well, what about just the illegals who got here over the past 4 years? And it goes up into like the 90s when you say, how about the illegals who have committed crimes? So the public, again, is with Trump on this. And I don't know, because I don't think CNN is ever going to admit that. I don't think MSNBC, I don't think ABC and CBS and NBC, like the people who run those organizations come up with the editorial, and the people who are in the anchor chairs don't feel the same. They are not in that 55% of Democrats or whatever. They're in the minority. They think they know better. And those are the ones who decide the programming decisions. So it would take a lot of ratings beatings, you know, for them to see directly that their coverage is shoving their numbers down and their salaries down for them to change. And I don't think that's going to happen because they're going to be talking about Trump and any talking about Trump rates. So I think they're not going to change.
Megan, I can't possibly let you go without asking about this clip.
It's like, fine, it was a freezing cold room. It doesn't really make you want to run out and run for Senate, I'll say that. So Chris Murphy of Connecticut, you should be feeling good because I'm less inclined to take your job now. But when I decide to take it, it will be mine because you're a disaster.
Megan? Do you have something you'd like to announce here on I'm Right? I think everybody would like to see Senator Megyn Kelly carving people up on the Senate floor.
I really should have done that in my drunk Kamala Harris imitation because that was a crazy talk. You don't actually want to fulfill people's ambitions, hopes, and dreams is senator. I think I'm actually better in the role that I'm in. And the point I was making was it actually seemed very, very boring. And, you know, when I meet the U.S. senators, and I know a lot of them, and I met even more when I was at the Hegseth hearing, I'm never like, gee, that's something I aspire to. I'm kind of like, I think my job might be actually more important than yours. I think I have a bigger capacity to reach people than you do. But I do acknowledge that they can change laws and that changes lives. So I think about it every once in a while because I can't stand my Connecticut senators or my Connecticut governor. Can't stand them. And Chris Murphy is the worst because he's radical on the trans issue, including the kid issue. But no, I have zero plans to run for office, and I don't want to run for office. I just want to remind him I'm here and I can hurt him.
Oh, fine. I wanted you to run. Maybe I'll ask you again next time. Maybe you have changed your mind. Megyn Kelly, go obviously subscribe her YouTube, SiriusXM. Megyn, I appreciate you as always. You are the best. All right. There's a lot of good news out there. A lot of good news, a lot of things to feel good about. On the January 6th political prisoner front, there's a lot to feel good about. We'll get to that in just a moment. Before we do that, I want to talk to you about sleeping every single night. You want to sleep good every single night? You know you can. It's right there within your grasp. Get some Dream Powder from Beam. Beam, they came up with this hot chocolate. It's hot chocolate. I microwave a little cup of milk, and I pour some Dream Powder in there or mix it up before bed, and it's got melatonin. It's drug-free. It's got melatonin and things like that in it. And I just sit and sip on a cup of hot chocolate while I read a book, watch some TV, and then boom, gone. Sleep like a baby every single night. You want to sleep like that? Shopbeam.com/JesseKelly is where you can go. We'll be back.
So this is January 6th. These are the hostages. Approximately 1,500 for a pardon.
Yes.
Full pardon.
Full pardon or commutation?
Full pardon. We have about 6 commutations in there where we're doing further research.
Okay.
Nice to see you again.
Wonderful moment, and I want to take a moment and give all the credit in the world to Donald Trump. I've been loud. Shoot, I've been loud on this show about him when it relates to January 6th political prisoners. Donald Trump walked into the Oval Office and turned them all loose on day one, and good job, Mr. President. Well done. All the credit in the world to you, and these people, look, you can't ever give them back their 4 years. The evil communists who ran this country for 4 years destroyed these people's lives, took their money, took their freedom. They lost spouses. Some took their own lives. But today is a wonderful, wonderful day. Here's Marine Corps Captain Christopher. Well, here he was.
It's been 4 years. And 4 years of fighting, 4 years of struggling, and I'm finally free. I don't even have the words to thank President Trump for what he's done for us.
It's a wonderful moment. Congratulations to all of you wonderful January 6ers who had the federal government declare war on you in ways we have never seen in the history of this country. I am still just watching videos like that. It fills me with happiness and rage. The evil people who did that to these people, there has to be some sort of a reckoning for that. People have to go to jail. DOJ people must go to jail for what they did. FBI people too, they must go to jail. Will that happen? I don't know. We'll talk to Julie Kelly next about all this January 6th stuff. Let her celebrate a little bit, and I'm gonna ask her, who's going to jail? Before we get to that, let's talk about your cell phone. Let's get you a better cell phone, shall we? You see, Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, they've taken part in big ways in this disgusting communist cultural revolution we've gone through in this country. Don't reward them with your money, not when you don't have to. Not when Pure Talk's out there, the patriotic cell phone company. Pure Talk, my bill got cut in half, and now when I pay for my cell phone service, I don't pay Black Lives Matter anymore. Pure Talk's CEO is a veteran. They hire Americans. When you talk to someone at Pure Talk, they will speak English to you, and they'll be pleasant. It's freaking wonderful. Does that sound good? Go. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
USA! 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 USA!
Pretty cool moment outside the DC gulag. Joining me now to spike the football, take a victory lap, because daggone she earned it, is the wonderful Julie Kelly. Go subscribe to her Substack, which is called Declassified. Julie, I don't even know that I want to ask you any questions. Maybe I'll just hand you the show for 10 minutes. Please, fire away.
Impossible, Jesse. There's no way you're not going to talk for 10 minutes. First of all, Jesse, I want to thank you because not only for having me on your show so often and covering my work, but all the posts that you put on social media, you know, supporting blanket pardons and highlighting the plight of J6ers. This has all been a team effort. And so I want to thank you so much for that. That being said, what a sight outside of that DC gulag, which of course we've covered now for almost 4 years, and really a sight I never thought I would see, is not just defendants being released after being pardoned, but also all the media attention and other J6ers, Jesse, who have been released from other federal prisons across the country, going directly to the gulag in support for those men and women who, I guess they're making it a really difficult time releasing them, but they will be out, I'm sure, by the end of the day.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that, Julie. Why are they still being held? Donald Trump's the president. He says let them out. They're still being held. What?
Well, because they're run by Democrat Marxists who work for D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser, and they want to extend the torment of these D.C. Those in custody there as long as they can. Now, the DC gulag operates as the holding pen for defendants who are going on trial or being arraigned or going to be sentenced. So that's why there's so many there, because Jesse, they had two jury trials last week. They had sentencing hearings last week. All of those have been dismissed and dropped and off the schedule. So now they're saying, oh, it's a paperwork glitch. We have to figure this out. But that's why you have men and even women like Rachel Powell, who's been there since January 5th, waiting to be resentenced. And I saw on social media, she was just released. So that's why there's so many there. It's kind of the holding pen for whoever has to go to the DC courthouse a few blocks away.
Julie, recap, if you will, what these people have gone through for 4 years, because they don't get their 4 years back. They don't get their money back. Some of them don't get their spouses, girlfriends, boyfriends back.
Their lives. That
genie doesn't go back in the lamp. Yeah, their lives, Matthew Perna and others. But that's go right. ahead, recap it for us.
So, I mean, this has been unprecedented in American history, and I'm not saying that. That's actually words that Joe Biden and Merrick Garland have said themselves. That this is an unprecedented criminal investigation. Now more than nearly 1,600 defendants before it was officially shut down yesterday. So they have been brought up on bogus charges, including one felony count that was overturned by the Supreme Court. They have been denied release on nonviolent offenses like obstruction and conspiracy, something that never happens. They have been brought up on federal misdemeanor charges. It's something the chief judge of the DC Circuit in early 2021 said, I don't even know how to deal with this petty offense, class B misdemeanor. We never handle charges like this in our courthouse. Nonetheless, hundreds of J6ers hauled before judges on these misdemeanors. And then, of course, the egregious seditious conspiracy convictions that typically reserved for real terrorists, Jesse, not people who organize and attend a political demonstration in the nation's capital. So bogus charges, highly partisan, vengeful prosecutors led by bloodthirsty officials at the DOJ, Merrick Garland and Lisa Monaco and Matthew Graves, thrown before the wolves of DC juries, all Democrats, which is why they have 100% conviction rate, and then sentenced to excessive prison time with terror enhancements added by the DOJ and federal judges. I mean, we are still, will be here, judges in Washington, what they've done.
Julie, who's going to jail? Is anybody going to jail? I'm talking about people as who were part of the DOJ. I'm talking about January 6th committee people. These are crimes that were committed. Is jail time in the future for any of these people? Because I want it.
Well, so do I. But as you know, Joe Biden pardoned the entire January 6th committee members and investigators and the four crying celebrity cops who perjured themselves under during the first televised performance in the summer of 2021 and repeatedly perjured themselves in court proceedings as witnesses and as victims, believe it or not. So they are off the hook. But who has not been pardoned? Merrick Garland was not pardoned. Lisa Monaco, the Deputy Attorney General, was not pardoned. Matthew Graves, the DC U.S. Attorney, who really was responsible for the most vicious parts of this prosecution, was not pardoned. Neither were any of his line prosecutors or the so-called Capitol Siege investigation deputies. Or, I have to throw in there, Special Counsel Jack Smith and his team of thugs, also not pardoned. So it kind of, in a way, the pardons by Joe Biden sharpens the focus for Trump's DOJ and Congress where they should go. And that's the target list right there. Let's hope that they pursue it.
Julie, what do we make of the Mark Milley pardon? It was pretty easy to figure out why he would pardon somebody like, well, all of his dirtball family members. But Mark Milley, what do you make of that?
So Mark Milley has his dirty fingerprints all over January 6th, and he was plotting in early in mid 2020 how to help get rid of Donald Trump. He talks about it in his book. I would point people, we have a very elaborate detailed piece at my Substack, Declassified with Julie Kelly, that recounts all the things that Mark Milley did and said in the lead up to January 6th. He was involved in things as a military officer, domestic law enforcement, which is a crime, as you know. And he was on phone calls with local DC police. He was surveilling the Proud Boys. He was conducting domestic intelligence. That's not his job. And then at the last minute, classified all of his records pertaining to January 6th. I know he might be pardoned, but we better open up those books. Incoming DNI Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, or Devin Nunes, who now handles this separate advisory committee on intelligence. Let's see what Mark Milley's book says, because he was a key player in the Fed's direction on January 6th.
How about that? Julie, congratulations. Wonderful day and wonderful work to you. Really good job. Way to stand up for the little guy. All right, we're not done. We'll be back.
Cartels are now going to be seen as foreign terror organizations. Would you think about ordering U.S. Special Forces into Mexico to take them out?
Could happen. Stranger things have happened.
Playing pretty coy there. Not that Special Forces have ever been in Mexico. Joining me now, Ned Ryan, author of the book American Leviathan. Hey, Ned. It is pretty good out there right now. Donald Trump, after 24 hours, tough to give him anything but an A grade.
It's phenomenal. Happy Second Liberation Day, Jesse, in which Donald Trump, I mean, first of all, that inaugural speech was amazing. I mean, he just sat there and punched them in the face again and again and again over the stupidity and the idiocy that has taken place over the last 8 or 9 years. And they had to sit there and take it. So that was an amazing start to all of it. And then these executive orders, I can't tell which one I'm more in love with, Jesse. There are so many good ones. The only one I quibble with is TikTok, but you know, let's leave that to the side for now. The one on Schedule F, re-implementing Schedule Up. A lot of these executive orders, Jesse, deal with bringing back accountability. And who decides is another fundamental question that's answered in these executive orders inside the Article II executive branch, which is run by the duly elected president of the United States, which is Donald J. Trump. And he did some executive orders yesterday that I think are going to shape fundamental change inside of our government with Donald Trump, and saying the one who decides policy, you SES types, you federal employees, I'm the one who decides policy. You will not resist my efforts. And so he did, he re-implemented the Schedule F policy, Jesse, in which he's going to reclassify some of these federal employees that if they touch anything in regards to policy, he has the ability to hire and fire at will, essentially. And he also deals with the SES types, the senior executive service, which they're the really the level between the political appointees and a lot of the federal employee, the government workforce. And these SES types are very powerful, and they go from 5 to 1, 5 being the lowest, 1 being the highest. And they run, really, for all intents and purposes, about 75 federal agencies. Donald Trump made it very clear in his executive order, you are actually to implement the policies from the head of the executive branch, which is, of course, Donald J. Trump. So there's a lot of good things that happened yesterday. He is off to an absolute amazing start.
Ned, he appears from the outside looking in to have a much harder edge this time, and he appears to be a man who understands that his first 4 years were really, really hobbled from within his own government. Yes. Are you getting that impression?
100%. I mean, this has been a kind of a brutal learning curve for Donald Trump. Again, he shows up in January of 2017 as the great outsider, thinking we're a constitutional republic, and spent the next 4 years fighting his own government. I mean, I would argue the DOJ, the FBI, and the intel community tried to take out the duly elected president of the United States. So he's fighting that constantly. And then the next 4 years of unbelievable political lawfare by, again, the DOJ and the FBI, and I think coordinated by the Biden White House. And so after a punishing 8 years, he has come to a realization of what the real fight is. And so not only did he do those executive orders I just mentioned, he has now officially started DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency, which will be working with OMB, again, to go after this administrative state. He also went after some other things, Jesse, that I thought were phenomenal in dealing with freezing any more federal employee hires, freezing regulations. He also pulled the security clearance of those 51 security intel officials who signed and said this Hunter Biden laptop is actually Russian misinformation. Again, that kind of ties into the fundamental issue of who decides, who's in charge, who actually runs this government of by and for the people. And that issue of those 51 intel officials lying to the American people was really because they thought they decided. They thought they were better, not only than the American people, but even more so than the duly elected representative of the American people. So ending weaponization was another executive order. So there were just a lot of phenomenal things that Donald Trump did within not 24 hours, but literally hours of him taking back the White House as the 47th president.
Ned, talk about these tariff threats when it comes specifically to Canada and Mexico. Justin Trudeau's out there. We will fight back. The Mexican president, we can't do this. Why the tariff threat? What does Trump want out of this? Where does this go from here?
Well, first of all, we have to look at it as a negotiating tool in which he is going to use it as the cudgel. If you do not do what I say or come to a more equitable agreement in trade negotiations, I will lower the boom on you in regards to tariffs. But I have to tell you something else, Jesse. Let's not forget how we got away from tariffs funding our federal government. It was at the turn of the 20th century, and the progressives decided they needed this massive administrative state, and tariffs were not going to fund that. So for this massive expansion of the administrative state, they started the federal income tax and the Internal Revenue Service. And Donald Trump, you can kind of see him. He started talking about the External Revenue Service and some of these things right before being sworn in again. I think he's not only thinking this is a leverage to get better trade deals, this might actually be where we want to go more towards in funding our government, because it would shrink the size of government. You can only fund so much government off tariffs, but also be able to cut taxes and return more money to the people and spur more economic growth. So I think there's a lot of different aspects to this tariff discussion that I think are meaningful and worth discussing.
Let's talk about the FBI, Ned. I had a conversation this morning with somebody inside the building. And he said some pretty frightening things to me about how rapidly the FBI is trying to build up walls to prevent, hopefully, incoming director Kash Patel from cleaning things out from the cleaning things out of the Cheka. How concerned are you about this?
Oh, I think it's going to be full-on political war inside the FBI when Kash Patel is sworn in as director of the FBI. You can see this right now, Jesse. I mean, they said, oh, we shut down the DEI office at FBI. No, you didn't. You move those people out of the DEI and put them in other offices to metastasize the cancerous woke mind virus. So you can see that they're trying to spread some of this stuff out and hide the resistance, not only in the FBI, but other departments and agencies, which, you know, I've told some of these nominees, you need to go timestamp when these people were moved out of their offices, when they got their GS-15 level 12 or SES qualifications and all of that, and go back and timestamp and say, yeah, we're after November 5th, if you did this, we're going to remove those, we're going to fire you, we're going to return you back to your position. The FBI, to me, I told Trump this, as much as you need someone who is actually going to enforce the law and be a loyalist at the DOJ, times at times 100 for the FBI, it is a pit of vipers. And it's not just the management of the FBI. I think the entity itself has become thoroughly corrupt. A current FBI agent told me not too long ago, I think it's upwards of 40% of the current field agents have come in under Chris Wray, which tells you in many ways, I think their thinking and approach to everything has been polluted by Chris Wray. So I think Kash Patel is going to have his hands full. He is the man for the hour, though. I think he's got the intelligence. I think he's got the political courage. But I think he's also prepared for a very hard fight to reform the FBI.
Ned, I'm glad people are going to get fired and reforms are going to happen, but who's going to jail? It's not enough to just fire people, resignation. It's not enough. Unless these communists feel real pain, they will do the same thing the next time they take power again. Are people actually going to go to jail? Does Pam Bondi have that in her?
I would hope that Pam Bondi and Kash Patel both have it within themselves to say, we don't need to maybe send hundreds of people to jail. We need to send dozens to make it very clear that the massive and gross abuse of the trust, quite frankly, the trust that was given to these people to run these powerful institutions, was just absolutely abused and used for political purposes to try and destroy political opponents. And if you do not have, and I don't want to say retribution because it's not, it's accountability. It's actually having consequences for this behavior so that it never happens again. And I think, Jesse, the reason that we saw this political lawfare take place over the last 4 years, you know why? Because nobody actually went to jail for their gross abuse of using a fake dossier to secure 4 FISA warrants. And my concern is if there's not actual consequences for what took place, as you see, if there weren't consequences for the FISA abuse and there's not consequences for this political lawfare, what happens next time will be even worse. And so there has to be some sort of accountability so that people can point to them and say, if you ever do this, you're going to go to jail. You're going to get your security clearance revoked. There's going to be serious consequences for you. So why don't you think really long and hard before you do that?
No doubt. Ned, my brother, as always, thank you. Come back soon. Lighten the mood. Next. All right. It is time to lighten the mood. And while we don't do a ton of sports talk here on I'm Right, I am an Ohio State fan. I was born in Ohio, so you don't really have a choice. I lived there until I was 10 years old. So Ohio State fever runs through my veins. And last night they won the national championship. And does it all feel a little dirty now that college football pays all these players millions of dollars? Yes, it does. Did I let that hold me back from having a good celebration last night? No, I did not. And perhaps Ohio State should celebrate their win by making sure you don't let any more chicks drive the golf cart.
Ryan J., you deserve it, brother. Thank you. Thank you. It's okay. It's okay. Thank you. It's okay. It's okay.
I'm so sorry.
How could you not see the wall? The wall's right there. You're in a golf cart. All right. And finally, Alabama fans, they are like nothing else.
Hoping to become the next director of national intelligence. Graham in Jersey City, New Jersey, Democrats line.
Hi, I want to wish everyone a happy MLK Day. I hope everyone's staying warm. Bit disappointed how the election turned out. I think it would have been great to see a female president inaugurated today. While I'm disappointed in the American people and their desire to see another 4 years of Trump, I'm a bit more disappointed in the selection committee for not picking Alabama for the college football playoff finals, and instead picking inferior teams like SMU and Indiana. Truly dark times in America.
Okay. Graham there. We've got pictures of more of the president's hopeful cabinet.
Why are news people such stiffs? Why couldn't you just laugh along with the freaking guy? Anyway, congratulations to the Buckeyes. So sad for producer Matt, whose Penn State Nittany Lions never win anything. And I'll see you tomorrow.